welcome to a new episode of the Monday Mile podcast. This week's guests are joining me in central London for a little stroll ahead of a very big race this upcoming weekend. It's the London Marathon, and today I'm joined by Scott Mitchell, the late husband of Dame Barbara Windsor, and Tanya Franks, who are two of the pivotal parts of Barb's Army. In this podcast, we will be exploring the incredible work both Tanya and Scott have done in the fight against dementia. And of course, their incredible running feats. Scott, Tanya, welcome to Monday Mile.
How are you both?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Really well, thanks. Lovely to see you, Amy.
Yeah.
Fresh off the back of 18 miles this weekend.
Yeah, that was our longest run.
That will be the longest run for me. I know everyone goes to different distances, but this will be my third marathon in 4 years, and I've only ever gone up to 18 miles. And for me, that's okay, because I know that on the day, I know how I'm most likely going to be feeling, but I do know that last 8 miles, the crowds just kind of carry you around, and you've got to get to the end anyway, so.
Yeah. What's the strategy of not running past 18 miles, Tanya?
Well, I did, the first year I ran 21 miles, was my longest training run. And I'd never run before. So both neither Scott or I had ever run before we trained for the London Marathon in 2019. So I'd gone from zero running to 26.2 miles in 4 months.
And, in 4 months? That is incredible.
I know, and madness all at the same time. But yeah, so that year I did 21 miles as my longest training run. The second year we did it, which was 2021, I got to 19. And this year it was 18 and a half that I've done.
Job done.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah.
The home stretch now, all about recovery and the taper.
Yeah.
How is the body feeling after 18 miles? Because that in itself is a rather long way.
Yeah, I mean, for me this year, I've been quite fortunate in the fact that I haven't had too many niggles or injuries.
You've done brilliantly
this year. If anything, it's my lower back that is the thing that sometimes gets to me. But thank goodness, no, it's been absolutely fine. I've actually enjoyed this year's training. Maybe it's psychological, because I've said it's the last one I'm doing. Who knows? Maybe that's why I'm enjoying it so much, thinking you never have to do it again.
So. You know what? I feel like that's one thing when you do a marathon. So I did one with my mum in 2019. We definitely crossed paths.
We did.
And as we crossed the finish line, we were extremely proud of ourselves. We were like, never doing that again. Did that happen to you in 2019?
100%. It happened in 2019 and in 2021.
We've never said it again. We've said it twice.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, here we are again.
Yeah.
So
how have we ended up in this situation that we're going for the third time around? Tell us a little bit about Barb's Army and the incredible work that the squad has been doing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, back in 2019, Barbara was still with us, and we'd gone public with her diagnosis that she had Alzheimer's. And the charities that year for the London Marathon, the partner was the Dementia Revolution, which was two charities, Alzheimer's Society and Alzheimer's Research UK. They said, could we approach a few of the EastEnders cast to run in Barbara's name? So we said, yeah. And, you know, luckily, these wonderful people stepped forward. So that year, you know, I said, oh, this is so good of you to do it. And they said to me, well, you'll do it as well, Scott. And I said, you're joking. I said, I'm 55. I've never run in my life. I said, I'm not going to start now. And they said, no, honestly, you can do it. And don't ask me how. I started training. I started enjoying it. The first run I ever did, I stopped after about a quarter of a mile, huffing and puffing, felt sick. And
I thought, after a quarter of a mile,
my first ever run. And I thought, why have I said I'm going to do this? This is crazy. And just persevered. And I've got to say to you, Amy, it's the best thing for me that I ever did in so many ways. Psychologically, it helped me get through a really difficult period in my life. And just, you know, I just felt really good. And the awareness that was raised at that point.
It was truly incredible.
It's still the London Marathon's most successful charity partner. It raised over 4.2 million that year with all the people running.
That is so special.
And yeah.
You can feel the magic energy and vibrancy of both of you.
Tanya, you'd never run.
I'd never run before. And when it was mentioned, I said yes, because also my stepfather has advanced Alzheimer's. So when I knew that they, you know, it was for a cause to run for Alzheimer's, not only was it because of Barbara, of course, but also from a personal point of view, I was living through, you know, I'm living through it with my stepfather. So absolutely I wanted to embrace that. It was a no-brainer. But, and also at the same time, I was thinking the same thing, because Scott had already started his running and I had done zero, absolutely zero. And I thought, I heard that we were going to walk it. I don't know where that came from.
I think I told you that in an email.
Yeah, we're probably going to walk it. So I was like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I can do that.
And then suddenly I sent a message to Scott saying, hold on, somebody's just mentioned the word run to me. Are we running this or are we walking it? Because in my head, I'm walking it. And he said, well, we'll probably run, walk it.
A little bit. That's achievable, right?
And I went, I don't run, Scott. And he said, well, neither did I, but I've done 5 miles now. And if I can do it, you can do it.
That is magic, and that's how it all started, literally.
And then it almost became like a competitive thing with yourself.
It was so compelling. I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, we couldn't wait to hit the next distance. And the first time I remember either of us hit double digits, oh my God, you would have thought we'd won an Olympic gold.
I mean, yeah, well, that's exactly what it was like. We were beside ourselves.
But that's the incredible thing about running, right, is how it can bring people together. And also, it's like the micro steps in self-achievement and improvement just make it, for me anyway, really, really quite addictive, right?
Completely. Mm. Something that I never in a million years thought I would ever do.
No. And as I say, the awareness for the charity and for the illness that has come through it, it's just really, really amazing.
It's been extraordinary.
It really has. It's made, you know, you hear people say, it makes a difference. We know that it has made a difference to so many different people. And that's something I think all of us can be really proud of.
Yeah.
For those people that are tuning into this podcast that may be unaware of dementia and the disease itself, could you give us a little overview of what it is? And that will really make sense to people as to why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So dementia affects now around 1 million people in this country, and it's the biggest killer in this country now, and is also a massively huge problem worldwide that is becoming it's increasing rapidly. And what happens is the brain deteriorates, and there are over 100 different types of dementia. Alzheimer's is the most prevalent. And Barbara had Alzheimer's, my stepfather has Alzheimer's, and you slowly but surely watch somebody that you love disappear in every single way, shape and form before your eyes. So they lose not just their physical capability, but they also lose, it strips them of their personality. It strips them of everything they've known or been. It strips them of a lot of their memories. And
Especially short-term
memories. Yeah, the long-term memories sometimes retain. But for every single person, it's different as well. So it's a very hard thing to get a handle on, because for every individual, it's different. So what Barbara went through, what I'm going through with my stepfather, the elements of it can be quite different, and yet there are similarities. It's quite hard to explain. But the biggest commonality is it strips the person of everything they have been.
And then being on the other side of that is extremely challenging as well. I've experienced it myself with my nan, and I think it's quite a hard one to juggle, in the sense that sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. Mm. And from what I experienced, there was no right or wrong in either of that. How did you deal with it, Scott?
It's one of those things that the majority of us are not naturally prepared to be a carer. And especially with Alzheimer's dementia, it's an ever-changing situation, which means that you are forever having to adapt to whatever the symptoms are at that point. Mm. So you're learning on the job, really. And there are times when you will get it right, and there are times when you can't help but not get it right. I think the most common thing that I speak to a lot of carers about, and we all kind of feel the same thing, or I felt the same thing, is you punish yourself when you get it wrong. And you're really hard on yourself. And the truth is, you have to be kind to yourself, because you're not expected to know how to deal with this. This is a baffling disease. It can be a brutal disease. Mm. It can
It's cruel.
It's very cruel. And you're suddenly watching this person you love maybe have the most terrible confusion and terror attacks, and they don't know where they are. And you are there, and all you can do is try and make them feel as safe as you can. Mm. To the best of your ability, just try and bring back some recognition to them, because at that point they may not even know who you are.
Yeah.
And it really is just bringing them back to some kind of calm state. And as I say, that's very harrowing for the family. That really is, because
so
the person
tough.
Yeah, the person's still there. They still look the same. So it's the most difficult thing that I think a family can really go through. And my heart goes out to everyone that still faces this every day. And that's why we need to do something about it.
Yeah.
That's why we do these runs. This is why we raise awareness.
Yeah.
We need treatments that are going to arrest this disease in its early stages. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a long way. You know, there's such progress being made.
There is, and also, I mean, I've been really forwarding a mission on prevention, on how we can look after our brain health from a really young age, haven't we?
Yes.
And because that's becoming very apparent. And, you know, Alzheimer's Research UK, who we're running for this year, they also have a Think Brain Health campaign. And I've started a non-profit company called Elimsha, which is also about encouraging people and helping to educate people how to look after their brain health. And we can start that from a very young age. And I think it's about the more education we have about our longevity of brain health, then people have a choice. It's a bit like years ago, you know, when people didn't realise that if you smoke, it can cause cancer. But now we have that choice. We have that education. We know that's the case. And so therefore we can make a choice as to whether we want to smoke or not, you know? And there are some lifestyle choices that make a difference. So it's about looking to educate people in that as well.
Knowledge is most definitely powering.
Yeah.
I've heard you speak a lot about prevention.
Yeah.
Again, for those that are tuning into this, what are some of the preventative steps that can be taken?
So looking after your diet, of course, is going to be a massive factor, not just for your brain health, but of course your health generally. This is something that we all know and we all talk about now. So definitely diet, good diet, healthy diet, a good mixed diet.
Exercise.
Exercise is so prevalent. Things like sleep, things like exercising the brain in a way that, so for example, our neurons and synapses need to, they can continue to develop right the way through our adult life, way into our 90s. Our brains keep growing, keep developing. And of course, there are things as we age that there are deteriorations. And so we have to keep balancing that out and keep encouraging the brain to grow and those synapses and neurons to keep forming. And we can do that through things, it sounds silly, but even by whatever your dominant hand is. You can use your other hand for things. You can teach yourself to use the other hand, and that's the brain going, oh my gosh, this is something new. And so therefore it starts to form, all the white matter and the grey matter all starts to form again. And it's by the brain learning new things. You're never too old to learn a musical instrument. You're never too old to learn a language. All these things continue to challenge our brain, and that's how it helps us to keep it healthy.
Now, I know sugar is a big one as well. We call it the poison.
Yeah, I'm a big advocate of of having as little sugar in your diet as possible. Yeah.
However, running a marathon, you know, often there's sugary treats and...
I think that goes out the window, sugar. I think when you get to mile 16 and someone hands you a jelly baby, you're like, I'm taking it. Yeah. I'm sorry, this is for me.
So if people see you running on the day and the jelly baby's being handed out, you will take them on board, yeah?
I will. If I feel that it's a moment that I need to, then certainly jelly babies are very welcome
Tanya's
to me.
Tanya's staying quiet there.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, I tend to go for natural sugars more, don't I?
So
I tend to run with dates. I carry dates
You're
with me.
You're such an athlete.
And I also carry a banana with me so that... Because I automatically get hungry halfway through the marathon. I'm like, I'm starving at this point. So I try to go for as many natural sugars as possible. I do take the odd couple of gels along the way.
They help.
They help. They do help, I think. And I do the best I can.
Yeah.
On the day, you've got to do what you've got to do.
That's all you can do, right?
And here's the thing. I just say, as far as sugar... As far as a diet is concerned, nobody wants to stick by a rule that's where somebody turns around and says to you, you can never do that again.
Yeah,
nobody,
it doesn't work.
No. You need to have, you know, you've got to make your own choices in your own way. However, if you can make dominantly the choice of not to have sugar as little as possible, then when you do have it, it's probably not going to be the end of the world.
Too true.
You know,
especially when you've just expelled 3,000 calories.
Exactly.
And you've run the whole way around London.
Exactly.
You know, we'll let you off.
Yes, right.
Scott will let you off for that one.
Got to live too.
Tell us about the squad for this year's Barbed Army. How many of you? How has the training worked? Do you all train together? What's the vibe? Because it looks like... A team I want to be part of one day.
You're very welcome,
you,
Amy.
I wish I would have known. You would have been the 11th member.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great. We've got some returning runners. I mean, obviously, Tanya did 2019. We also have Adam Woodyatt. We have Jake Wood. Mm-hmm. They're also returning runners with us. Natalie Cassidy.
Returning runner.
We have a couple of newbies as well. Nice. We have Lacey Turner, who's doing her first ever marathon.
Yeah.
So she's been doing incredibly. We have Heather Peace from EastEnders as well. We have Candice Brown from Bake Off, who's joining us, who's a friend of ours.
I saw Candice at the weekend. She was doing the landmarks.
That's right.
Absolutely. So she's with us as well. We have Adam's son, Sam, who is running with us. He also ran with us in 2019.
We have John McIntyre,
who's another dear old friend. Yeah. He's also from EastEnders. You'd always spot John. He's always in the market or the pub or the cafe. We also have Lacey Turner's sister, Daisy, running with us. So it's a really lovely bunch of people that have got together. And me personally, Amy, I'm so grateful to all of them because it's a big ask. When you say to someone, will you run a marathon? It's not like just saying, you know, will you turn up and have your photo taken?
No.
And a few of those ladies all have young children. So they're mums, they work full time. And when they're not doing that, they're training for a marathon, and that's a lot to ask someone. So God bless all of them.
It's so time consuming, actually. I think people don't realise, you know, every weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, you're like, right, I need to block out. Like,
you've got to give it over.
You say like 5 hours.
Yeah.
But it's longer than that because it wipes you out for the day in the early days where you're picking up that big mileage.
Yeah.
When it comes to running as a group, do you all train together? How do you sort of find that balance with the different speeds?
Well, there's also the fact that a lot of us kind of don't live near each other. So obviously some people do have to run solo.
Yeah.
For instance, Lacey's sister Daisy lives in Singapore. So she's been doing hers in like this incredible humidity and heat. That's been her training session.
That sounds like a bit of me. But I enjoy that.
But there are a few of us that have run as a group, which has been really good. You know, we've had our park runs at the weekend. Tanya and I ran with John McIntyre. We've done group runs with Natalie and Lacey. No. It's been a really, really fantastic experience.
Yeah.
And our whole group, you know, we've got a WhatsApp group.
We're always encouraging
we're always putting
each
our runs
other
up,
and
yeah, spurring each other on.
Yeah.
And of course, we're also doing some incredible awareness and fundraising. And, you know, if any of your listeners Google Babs Army, Enthuse, E-N-T-H-U-S-E, they will come to our page. So if anyone's got a couple of spare pennies 100%. That they want to throw at us, that would be absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
That really would.
Is there a target in mind that you want to reach with the fundraising?
Yeah, I've set the target at 50,000. I know that it's very difficult this year. Already, we're at 45,000. So I'm just hoping... I'm just hoping that we can just crawl across the line and get that extra five to hit our 50 target.
You've not even run it yet.
I know.
The
support has been absolutely incredible.
Everybody's been so encouraging, haven't they?
That is truly magic.
Yeah, so we're really thankful for that.
So do you guys run together?
We do.
Yes, we do. We do a lot of our runs together. We always have. Interestingly, Tanya and I, the first year that we did the marathon, we crossed the line exactly the same second.
Was that on purpose?
No! It just happened.
I mean, we ran together. Our pace was obviously very similar.
Yeah.
But we crossed the line and it happened about another three runs afterwards.
Yeah. It's happened on half marathons and it happened on the second marathon. And it's happened on a couple
it's
of halves
like
as well.
On the second.
Literally to the second.
That is,
yeah,
I
weird.
Think that's like kind of unheard of. I've done two marathons and I've done a few halves. The majority of them I've done with my mum. And it's a funny one really, because I've recently just done the London Landmarks half and a lot of people are like, how do you run with your mum? You know, why do you run with someone? But for me, these big sportifs are such a unique opportunity to actually go out and enjoy the day and be carried by the energy of everyone else. For me, signing up to a half marathon, a full marathon, doing it on your own, it just doesn't have the same appeal.
It must be a lot more difficult. I must say, I do rely on the support that I've had, especially when you get to those difficult moments where your head suddenly says to you, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
Absolutely.
And to have someone else there saying to you, come on, you know you can do this. You know, because you don't always listen to your own head.
No.
You know, because you're having an argument inside your own head. You're saying, you can do this. And the other part of you is saying, no, I can't. My legs are finished.
Who's going to know?
But the thing is, there's a question that I know a lot of your listeners have asked me to ask you, Amy. And is it true that you run with your mum, but when it gets to the finishing part, you take off really quickly and leave, so you get
that?
A better time.
Who said that?
I'm joking. Go on, be honest.
I beat her across the line by a second. But there was zero intent in that whatsoever. Bye, Mum. Honestly, not competitive at all.
No, of course not. Of course not. You're not, are you, Amy? No.
Former athlete.
That's what I was going to say, exactly. There's no competition in you.
You know what, actually, I think that has had the adverse effect, because I'm then at a place where I've done my competing.
Yeah.
Now I can
yeah.
just turn up and enjoy. And I think that is what is so special about events like the London Marathon. It's a unique opportunity for everyone to go out and do something that has the same magnitude and effect of something like an Olympics.
It's
the amateur day Olympics.
That's
a wonderful way to describe it. That's the best thing I've ever heard said about the London Marathon.
It's so true. Because we always say, don't we, the one thing we know is that we're never going to win it. It's like, we're not going to win it. But at the same time, you just feel like this momentum behind you that just carries you off in a way that you cannot describe. I mean, it truly was, when we did that first one particularly, it was one of the very best days of my life.
And I will agree with that.
It was standout. Yeah. I mean, it was an extraordinary, because it's also not just the momentum of the physical activity that you've put into it and the mental energy you've put into it, but it's the fact that all the people come out to support, that there's all the people supporting, giving their time to give water, to give, like you say, jelly babies, whatever it is. people clapping and cheering. The whole thing just becomes a feeling of massive goodness and masses of love and masses of encouragement and enthusiasm.
And just very emotional.
Very emotional.
Very emotional.
When do we really get that in such abundance in life, on such a mass scale?
You just don't, do you?
No, it happens rarely, and that's one of the rare occasions where it's extraordinary.
My advice to anyone listening to this who hasn't done a marathon, who thinks they're not a runner, is just challenge yourself. Please, I beg you, if you
give
do anything in your life, try and run one marathon.
Yeah.
It will change how you feel about yourself forever.
Absolutely.
You know what? You're kind of inspiring me to do another marathon.
Come on! Come on, Amy, next year, next year. We won't be doing it next year. I won't be doing it next year.
But I will come out and support you.
We will support you. Now, one of the benefits of running and challenging yourself is that you're challenging your brain as well.
Yeah.
So when it came to you both picking up running, how old were you, Tanya?
How old was I? 52.
52?
Mm-hmm.
And Scott, I was 55.
55.
That's I must have been 51. That's right, 51. Yeah.
That's right, 51. That's a big step to take on a challenge that's as physically and almost more mentally enduring than anything. At that age, do you believe that can make a difference to your mind?
Oh, I mean, I think especially when it's something that I never thought I would ever do. I can remember running up and down my front room when the first marathon ever happened.
Yeah.
And being so excited, my mum and I just ran up and down my front room for hours on end pretending that we were training for the London Marathon, you know. And it was...
That's a new one. I'm
just ran up and down the front room for hours. But at the same time, it was, I knew that probably deep down it was something that I would never, ever do or ever achieve, because I wasn't a runner. I didn't have it in me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the opportunity arose. And it is that thing, isn't it? When you see an opportunity that happens, it presents itself and you just go, I may never get this chance again. Mm. And so just to be encouraged to do that and to feel your own enthusiasm and encouragement of yourself was just something I thought at that age, when am I ever going to do this again? You know, and at the age of 51, you just, I mean, I'm not a person that focuses on age anyway. Age never means anything to me.
All in the mind.
Yeah, it's a number. And for me, life is just a series of days that are just fantastic, however you live them. And so it was never a number thing for me of achievement. It was very much about turning around and saying, actually, in my life, this is an amazing thing for me to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't pare it down to what age I was, if that makes sense. It was very much about, wow, just to be able to do this at any point in my life is truly incredible.
Whereas I was completely the opposite. I kept telling people, do you know how old I am? Do you think I should really be running a marathon?
I probably do the same
as you. Exactly.
You both said that this is your last marathon.
Yeah.
Come Sunday, when you cross that line,
we'll know it's our last marathon.
Yeah. Let's be honest, though, we're going to see that target hit, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Do you think that it could change your mind and we will see you here next year in those same bibs?
You won't see me. No. I can guarantee you won't see me doing another full marathon.
No.
And I think, you know, let me get my age back into it.
Five
days after this marathon, I'm going to hit 60. And I think to have done three marathons in the last 4 years for me is beyond anything I ever would have dreamed, let alone three.
I wouldn't have dreamed about,
I wouldn't have done one, let alone anything else.
This is abnormal for us.
No, exactly.
This is not a normal thing.
It's not normal. It's not
Maybe
normal.
There'll be a new challenge. Maybe I'll have to find myself a new challenge. You know, I'm an ambassador for Alzheimer's Research UK. I'll still be working with them. Maybe a bit more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And not necessarily running marathons. But you know, for me, if I can get away with this third one, I'm going to look up and say thank you very much.
Oh, that would
do me. That would do me nicely. Yeah, and Barbara never thought I should be running anyway. She told me that my legs were too little.
You're so, like, Barbara, this one's for you, and I'm going to show you my legs aren't too little.
Exactly.
Well, without a doubt, both of you have further cemented the legacy of Barbara Windsor. Do you think the Barb's Army crew will continue?
Well, look, Babs Army could continue.
Yeah, in its
identity.
You could be the
exactly.
captain, and then you just recruit a new relay team.
Exactly. Well,
it could be
possible.
That. Or Babs Army may choose to do something
different
else.
Events.
Who knows?
Maybe it's a snowboarding challenge.
Oh,
we didn't mention how old I was.
We are, of course, on the Monday Mile podcast, so we do have to ask both of you what your relationship is with Monday, the start of the week.
Oh, Monday.
Do you like a Monday?
Yeah, I do. I do like a Monday. It's funny, you know, I have a funny thing about days in that I kind of never sort of really... I don't single out days very much, so, which is a bit like what I'm saying about age. I don't really single out age very much either. So it's that thing for me. I go, okay, it's not necessarily like the start of a new week.
Yeah.
It's for me, I go, oh, it's actually the start of a new day. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, and that way... I motor on through like I do most of the other days as well.
And for me, Monday is the start of a new week, and that is what is this week going to bring?
Yeah.
And I kind of like to think of life like that.
Yeah.
What is today going to bring?
Yeah.
What's going to change that we're not aware of? So Mondays, I don't mind at all.
No. Well, this week, it's going to bring you your third marathon.
Yes.
Casual. What a triumph that will be.
What a triumph.
And
thank you so much, Amy. It's brilliant to talk about it in some ways, actually, isn't it?
And lastly, team, is there any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners to maybe help them be inspired to get up and run that first mile?
I'd say live in the moment, live for today, take chances. Don't put obstacles in the way. And remember that now is all you have. The past has gone. There's nothing you can do about that. The future, none of us know about. It's just the unknown. So if you don't live in today and embrace every moment, you're wasting a life.
That is so strong. Tanya, anything to add to that?
Oh, no, that's a biggie.
That's a corker. You've started the show.
Corker. That is a corker. I guess for me... personally, I've just always believed enjoy the moment, because if we don't enjoy the opportunities and the gifts that we're given, sometimes an opportunity arises. We're talking about running today, and people that are listening to this may not yesterday have thought that they'd be listening to something today talking about marathon running. And so if you are listening today, you can listen to this and go, oh, perhaps I could just do 5K. Perhaps I could just do 10K. Perhaps I could just run a mile. And you'd never know where the start of that new journey is going to be.
You know what? That is truly magic. And I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed my morning being totally present, chatting and being inspired by both of you. I think I might go home and
run. Run? You're going to run, Amy?
Sign up
for another marathon. Tanya, Scott, good luck this weekend at the London Marathon. And lastly, Scott, if you want to give a little plug to the page, let's get it out there.
Absolutely, it's Babs Army. So if you just Google Babs Army Enthuse, that's ENTHUSE, you will come straight to our page, and we will be eternally grateful for any pennies that you might have spare.
And if you want to follow our journey as well, then go to Instagram and you can follow @BabsArmy
on
Instagram. Yeah. And that way you can actually follow our running journey and how we finish up.
Yeah.
Unreal. I can't wait to follow it. I'm excited for you. Monday Mile listeners, I hope you enjoyed that one, because I freaking did. It's a wrap!